Okay, so this is the speed dating seminar.
Hey guys, how's everybody doing here?
I'm sorry, what?
That's mumbling, just to like, I'm trying to do ADR.
Okay, listen, here at the speed dating seminar, we need you to speak and enunciate properly, okay? You're going to be interacting with a lot of people here.
Where's my date, okay? I'm tired of talking, just sit me down with somebody, please.
Oh my god, okay. Well, why don't we have Big Tony escort you out to the VIP section?
The VIP section?
Yeah, it's actually right outside the front door where you just came in.
Oh.
He's going to escort you out there.
So you don't want my ADR, or you don't want me to demand to be sat with somebody. Hey, that girl over there, she's pretty hot. Hey, girl, do you not want to speed date with me?
Get it out of here!
Well, I can take a hint that I'm not wanted.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Indie Film Review. I'm Jared. That's Dan. Hey, Dan. What's up?
Well, I'm feeling good.
Yeah?
I'm feeling good because my work year is coming to an end.
That's great, buddy.
And I feel great.
It is nice when the world gives you a break.
Yes. The break is coming. I cannot wait. So I'm pretty excited. I'm excited to start watching a lot more movies now that I have more time to do so.
Can we just say how amazing it's been, like with the growth of the podcast and everything that's been going on? Because like we've been getting so many. I mean, I've said this before, but it's like increased times two now.
And it has nothing to do with COVID. I refuse to believe that people who have been staying inside now just want to have an extra podcast to listen. No, that's not what it is. We are touching the hearts of millions. And people are telling them kids about us.
Anyways, what is this show, Dan? I'm so confused.
This is a show where we take independent films and we review them for the listening audience. And for the filmmakers who might have submitted them. We provide constructive criticism and mostly constructive criticism and a lot of praise.
If we like it or not. Yeah. I mean, it's... You know, we're goofs and gaffs, but we're also going to try to critically analyze with our little peepers.
And we're also going to sink our teeth into just the analytical aspects of the film. Like, you know, what the film means in a sociocultural context.
That's right.
I mean, that's what the hope of every episode is. Whether we get there or not is completely up to us in the moment. So...
Is the ostrich puppet a metaphor for the male phallus?
Yes.
That's the type of in-depth psychoanalysis that we're going to be doing here. All right, so we watched a short film, long film. The first one we watched, a short film called Autumn Never Dies, sent in to us by Chris Quick.
Chris Quick.
Thank you, Chris, for submitting this to us. And then also, we got a long film. Kind of long. It's only like 50 minutes long.
It's an interesting length for a film.
It's like in between of like short film, long film. It's an in-betweener.
It's a chub film.
Ooh, chub film. I don't know. We're not going to coin that phrase because it sounds inappropriate.
Isn't that what they're called, or is it called a chode? I think that's what it is.
A chode? No, like a chub is a half mass. Yeah, okay. Yes, I just didn't want to keep talking about penises, but we're still talking about penises. Okay. The long film we're doing is Vex, sent in to us by Dwayne Parker. Thank you, Dwayne, for sending your film to us. You're probably regretting that now. So, hey, Dan, let's talk about Autumn Never Dies. What do you think?
Autumn Never Dies is a short film about two friends who are puppets. One is named Danny and the other one's named Trevor. What's his name?
Nelson.
Nelson's
the monkey and Danny is the ostrich.
Yes, and one of them apparently is a doctor. I think Nelson is a doctor. Anyway, it's just basically the hijinks of these two characters throughout the a span of their life. I think it starts at a funeral, and it's hard to say what this film is about because it's kind of like little mini sketches all put together.
Yes, that is a really good... You're really hitting it right there. The plot did feel very scatterbrained. I wasn't sure where we were going. They use this narrative device of Danny the ostrich is telling his therapist about things that happened in the past.
I like that whenever it first happened.
But in the very first part, it's not that. Yeah, we're focusing exactly on Nelson the monkey, and I'm like, is he the main character? And then he kind of goes away, and he becomes like the side character.
Yeah, it was kind of confusing.
And then now it's Danny the ostrich, not Danny the reviewer, which is you.
Yes.
So I was confused in that respect. I'm like, I don't see Danny on the screen. Where is he? I just see this this penis with a beak. And I'm like, well, it's kind of like how Dan is. I don't know what I'm saying. I don't know what I'm saying.
Anyway, let's get back to Autumn Never Dies. Not August.
September Never Leaves. What a great film.
Jared, questions.
Sure.
How did you like the humor in this? Like, was it a good chuckle fest for you?
I definitely was laughing at some moments. Other times it just felt it was kind of cringy or I didn't get it, which could be a regional thing because the accents in this movie, I'm not sure exactly where it was filmed, but sometimes it was kind of hard for me to understand what they were saying. So I did use subtitles, and that's just because
I didn't even know subtitles were an option.
That's just because I'm an American and their accents is just, I have to like listen to it for a little bit and then I'll get used to it.
No, I'm the same way. I feel like I might have had that too, but like, I just, because I know I'm going to get used to it, I just didn't even bother. I'm like, okay. But I don't know. The comedy for me was pretty on point. I don't know. It might just be because I like puppets. Just be that. Even the cringy stuff, I'm like, you know what?
I like
what?
Puppets too. But I think it's just because the film already acted like we knew who these characters were and it was already established.
Oh,
that's an issue because I don't know who these characters are and I don't know what's going on. Because there was a first film that I wish Chris sent us that film first. I feel like that maybe would have established some more things about who these characters are. Because if you haven't seen the first film, I feel like you're going to be real confused about like what's going on. I like the punchline of we're at that funeral, it's really sad, and then it cuts to like a frog talking. Mm-hmm. Like that was funny. I was like, whoa, there's puppets? I didn't even know there's puppets in this movie. Because when you see a film called Autumn Never Dies, it sounds like a James Bond.
Or just like an independent drama about two star-crossed lovers.
Yeah, and even in the intro was like an homage to James Bond films, which I loved. It was really nice. But yeah, so this movie was done in the UK, just so we're clear on that. They're speaking the proper English, all right? And we're speaking the bastardized version, I guess, right? Where it's like, hot dog, America.
Dude, like, language evolves, okay? Bro. So whether we're bastardized or not, we should just appreciate all languages because that's what allows us to communicate.
A bastard in a basket, that's what I say. Yes. Okay, well, we can't do too many questions because we do have to cover the long film.
That is true.
But overall, how did you feel about this movie, Dan? All encompassing. Let's hear it.
All right. So, I mean, the camera work was serviceable. It wasn't like you're not going to do fancy ass camera work in a sketch comedy about puppets. But the editing was great. The dialogue was great. I have to hand it to the actors because I've always thought this. Just watching The Muppet Show and Sesame Street, it has to be difficult as hell to act alongside a puppet and treat it as an actor because that's what you have to do. And these characters were able to develop some form of chemistry with this inanimate object, which is crazy. The film didn't lag to me.
Yeah, I wasn't bored while watching it, that's for sure. I will say, my biggest criticism for this film is the puppets. So they are just like long necks with heads on top, most of them.
Mm.
And it's like, do they have lower bodies? What's going on? And like with that sex scene, like it's weird to imagine like this lady just having sex with like an ostrich neck and a head. Like that's, I don't know.
Dude, did you see the ostrich? Okay. I know we don't want to talk about penis, but the ostrich gets a boner in this. Did you see how big the ostrich boner is? Like, it's like a
the
third of
his... as big as the ostrich.
Yeah, it was a third of his fucking body. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Jesus Christ. Typically, you wouldn't show it because that's inappropriate. And that's,
well, they
definitely
used like
above
a shadow effect.
Yeah, it's a shadow. But still, I mean,
That was pretty good. There were some pretty funny moments in this film, I will admit. But to my point, when we have the puppets talking with other people or the camera is solely focused on the puppet, and the puppet is like flapping, you know, it's really, it's doing these big flapping motions where the mouth is literally covering the entire face and it's moving really rapidly. It's almost like a blur effect. It was hard to focus on the subject that the camera was doing, you know what I mean? So I feel like the puppet, the actual puppetry of the film wasn't as good as it could be.
If I really need to go there, I will critique this because I have been taught properly how to use puppets. It is a skill that you have to master. And these puppets were definitely kind of all over the place. They felt very amateur. But whenever you are, you know, working a puppet, you have to like treat your thumb as you would, you know, your bottom jaw. Because whenever you're talking, the only part of your mouth that's really moving is your bottom jaw. So the top has to stay up. And whenever you flap it, it does look very unnatural. But that kind of, to me, matched the aesthetic of the film. Like, it was corny. The silliness of it.
Yeah. I just thought it'd be more fun to have it just treat these characters as real as possible. Like, they are in this world, and it's totally normal that there is a puppet ostrich, you know, and like the puppet monkey. And
well, no, I mean, that's what they were going for. And, you know, I think it was achieved to a certain extent.
So overall, I thought it was pretty good. I mean, I kind of wish I watched the first one just so I could have more context about what the heck was going on. So overall, it was okay. All right. Next movie is Vex. Vex.
Next movie is Vex. Hey, guys.
Dan, what is Vex?
Vex
question,
is... Okay.
Query.
Vex is about a... Here's what it's really about.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Vex is about a man who is a police officer, a police detective, and he loses everything one night because of this rogue conspiracy group comes into his house and murders everybody.
That's right.
In the first 5 minutes, like 0 to 100, murdering unborn children. Holy fuck.
Some might call that the inciting incident.
Yeah.
Continue.
After the murder takes place, I feel like I'm spoiling it.
Oh, would it be a spoiler? I mean, he just goes on a revenge thing.
Yeah, it's a revenge tale about this guy whose family was, his parents and his wife and children were murdered while he was at work.
His fucking parents, his wife and his children. Yeah, that's...
For no reason, by the way. Well, I mean, the reason's kind of given to us towards the end of the film, but for a long time, like, these people were just legitimately murdered for no reason. You're like, why are we chasing them? I guess because, like, the underground, basically he's chasing after this underground group of vigilantes, or not vigilantes, but like hitmen, and they're called Vex. They have this name called Vex. And they are in cahoots with some, like, politician or something. And the politician's using them to carry out these various misdeeds.
Do we ever even meet the politician?
No, we never meet the politician. Anyway, that's the basic story of it. And it's about this guy who's going to go get revenge on Vex.
This movie has a lot of problems.
I will tell you the very first thing. And here's the deal. I watched this movie all the way through. I'm very well acquainted with amateur cinema. It did not bother me, probably not as much as it obviously has bothered Jared. But the one thing that did bother me that needs to be fixed immediately, like, you can just do this. It's going to take some time to do it, but it needs to be fixed. It's just the sound mixing. The sound mixing is all over the place.
There were certain times where they were in that car and they were driving and you had this character Tyson was giving some backstory, and I have no fucking idea. Like, it was so hard to hear what he was saying. It was just really, really rough. But yeah, the sound mixing is the biggest issue.
Well, see, I didn't have an issue with that, but I do want to give, like, a specific note just in case Dwayne is listening. I'm sure he is. There's the scene where a knight... What's his first name?
It's Knight, coincidentally. No, I'm just kidding. Hold on. It's Michael.
Michael
is the main character.
Okay, so there's a scene where Mike is talking to his wife in the past, and they're at a carnival, and there is background noise of the carnival, and I can tell there was a lot of work that went into achieving what this background noise sounded like. But there's this instance where the background noise cuts off before the actual image cuts off. So there's just this really strange moment of 2 seconds of absolute silence before it goes to the next scene. And like, it's things like that that really, that's where your sound mix will take you out of the movie. The rest of it to me was passable. Whenever you have, you know, things that are mixing issues, like I can forgive that, but the absolute silence, that is so jarring to me that that's my biggest critique.
Mm-hmm.
Again, sound mixing is normally the last thing that gets done, and it's the thing that gets the most work. So I have to applaud him for what he was able to achieve.
Yeah, I mean, I agree for sure. But you can go back and like for certain scenes, especially in that car scene, you can do pickups, you know, like have that guy say his lines again right into a microphone and then just ADR that into the film. And that would have been way better than us just hearing the raw audio.
That's what China did for years. That's what China still does.
Yeah,
that's what Italy still does. Like Italy has never done synchronized sound. They always do asynchronous sound.
And it's become so stylistic that I actually love it, like in Italian horror movies and stuff. Like, I love that stuff. It's so great. Dan, do you have a question for me?
Yes, Jared, I have a question for you. Issues aside, how did you like, do you think this was a treat? How did you like the 50-minute runtime?
Again, I'm going to say I'm a little disappointed because I see a film like this, I see it Vex, and I'm looking at the cover, and I'm like, oh, okay, I know what this movie's going to be, and I'm excited. It's going to be like, a guy's got to get revenge, and there's going to be a lot of cool fights, right? You know? Like, that's what you're watching this film for. You want to see the cool fights. And I got to say, these fights are not very good.
That's like, not what I asked.
Kind of just, they were disappointing. What did you ask me?
I said the runtime, bro. Like, how did you feel about that 50-minute runtime?
Oh, really? How did I hear something totally different? I was fine with the runtime.
Dude, the runtime is crazy. Like, he managed to get a whole story into 50 minutes and kept me engaged the entire time. Like, that was impressive.
Well, I think that the film probably could have been longer.
Certainly.
I think they focused on the wrong things. Like, we should focus on Michael Knight. This is Michael Knight's story about him getting revenge.
And the film was mostly about Tyson.
Yeah, it's about Tyson, the guy you hate. We'll talk about why in a second. Like, okay, I get the film is about second chances, and there's a really great quote that I want to read. What makes a man good? Is it his past or his present? So it's, you know, I understand that completely, but I also think there are certain things that a person can do that it's just too far. Like, say, for instance, murdering a pregnant woman and her baby.
Yes.
Almost irredeemable. I don't know if you can really bounce back from something like that. I don't know. Maybe you can. It's an interesting concept to dissect and look at. I'll say I really like the ending of this movie. I thought that was really cool. But having these cool like thought experiments going on in the film, I enjoyed. But if it's not backed up by like the cool fighting, which I thought this whole movie was going to be about, it was hard to keep my attention, let's say, because I don't think the fight choreography was very good. People were throwing punches and it felt like they weren't even like raising their arms 100% to like actually hit the person. I don't know. What do you think, Dan? Am I talking out of my ass?
No,
here?
You're not talking out of your ass. I agree. Like the fight choreography was some of the weaker I've seen in a film. I will say that. But that didn't necessarily take me away from the film. It was in the way, that's for sure, because I was more interested with the message of the film, that second chance. Like, there's this really, it's silly, it's a silly scene, but it's also pretty intense, where Tyson is, like, talking in the car, and we're finding out that Michael, he's realizing that Tyson's the person that murdered his wife.
And mm-hmm.
Tyson's like staring off in the distance, and Michael just keeps bringing up his gun to the back of his head and just like wincing.
That's...
and then bringing it back down, and he does it like three times.
It's that, no, he does it way more than three times. It is comical.
It was so
okay,
funny.
The idea of that scene and him describing it with Michael Knight in the background being upset, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
But have him put the gun to his head maybe one time. One time, because it is getting really silly. I actually was enjoying this film more when the fights weren't happening. I like the story a lot more than I like the
fights. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yes, I agree with that. Hey, we're going to spoil this movie.
That's why I'm so impressed that it takes place in 50 minutes. Like, he is, even though things could be fleshed out, he still has a core narrative.
Yeah.
That is an action-packed narrative Like, he had room for fight scenes.
Yeah, I feel like the way the narrative was delivered was a little messy, too, and we'll get into that.
Yes, I do agree with that.
All right, so we're going to spoil Vex. I just looked it up. I couldn't find where you would go if you wanted to see it, so I'm guessing it's festival circuits, like Dan was saying earlier. Spoiling the film. All right, so the plot of this, the way they deliver what's going on. So you have the inciting incident. Really good. I love the chemistry between the family. I was like, I love that Scrabble scene. I thought it was great. And then the bad guys show up. First of all, lock your doors. That was the big thing I took away from that scene.
Hey, man, like, they live in a safe city. They live in a safe suburb.
Lock your fucking doors. Yeah, because I am having door locking anxiety watching this. The bad guys come in. They like rape his daughter. Kill his parents.
Do they rape his daughter, though?
Yes, it's implied that that's what happens.
God damn.
And then Tyson, who is kind of like the side main character of this movie, is ordered by the big bad guy, Vader, to stab the main character, Michael Knight's wife and pregnant baby, in the belly and kills them both.
What's weird about this is they just said, leave no witnesses.
Yeah.
That's the only thing they said. So everybody takes turns doing their own murder the way they want to murder. Like, grandpa gets the shit beat out of him. Grandma gets strangled. It's implied that the daughter gets drowned in the toilet. Yeah, mama gets stabbed.
Well, we don't have to go into detail on how they die, but like, what were they even looking for?
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to get at here. Like, it's so gruesome, but it seems pointless.
Well, because like, a politician hired these guys to kill Michael Knight, not his family, right?
Right. But do you get any of that information at the get-go? What I'm saying is it's so brutal right off the bat and there's no reason behind it. That was kind of confusing to me.
Well, it's weird because like they show up and they're like, they don't have the item we're looking for or something to that extent. Mm. So you're thinking it's like a specific MacGuffin thing they're looking for. But I guess it's just Michael Knight. Like, wouldn't they know where Michael Knight is if they're like tailing him or they're assassins? They'd like know to kill him. And then wear masks. So people don't know who you are. So it doesn't matter if there's witnesses or not. They don't fucking know who you are. So you come in the house, look for whatever you need to look for, and you'll be like, all right, bye, fuckers. We're leaving. But again, so I think there could have been a better reason that the bad guys were killing the family. So then we have, okay, we have Michael Knight. I think like 3 months pass. He is randomly driving while he's drinking and driving, and he is just going down the road. It's been like 5 months, or no, I'm sorry, like 3 months.
And he just so happens to cross.
Yeah, just so happens to run into the very same man who killed his wife and child and was a witness to...
Who is hobbling across the median because he just got his ass kicked by... Vader's gang. Oh, by the way, the main bad guy, his name is Vader.
Yeah, which is cool. So I guess all of these characters' names are based off of famous boxers. That's the deal. I think that's kind of neat.
Oh.
Because Darth Vader was famously a really great boxer. I don't know if you knew that,
Dan.
It's in a little film people like to call Star Wars. You ever heard of it?
Yes.
Okay, good. So, so he picks up this guy after, like, Tyson is, like, telling this dude to fuck off so hard, it doesn't make any sense for him to want to help him this badly when it's like a dude is telling you he doesn't want help and you are just up his ass for so long trying to help him. And then he finally gets him into the car. But okay, so it makes sense if Michael Knight knows that this is the man who murdered his family and he's trying to use him to find the rest of them. Then it makes sense why he's so persistent, but he doesn't know that. He has no information on who killed his family. That's the plot hole stuff in this film that doesn't make any sense to me. And I feel like it could have been worked out a lot better. Because, okay, Michael Knight is an investigator, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just have him investigate his own family's murder. Show that. He finds a clue. Oh, Vex.
Dude,
oh, someone dropped the
do
dog tag.
Do you not watch police procedurals? Like, if you are involved in a crime, you can't investigate it yourself because you have a conflict of interest.
But he can do it. He can just do it anyways because he's so involved. And then maybe his partner's like, listen, I know you're not supposed to be investigating this, but here's the clue I found at the crime scene.
He's
like, all right, I'm going to use his clue. And then he goes to an address and then he like starts a fucking investigation to find these fuckers instead of just like random happenstance. that we just meet a dude in this. Okay, anyways, so he's in the car with him. Can you tell I have a lot to say about this movie? And we're going to talk for another 15 minutes.
Yeah, man.
So then Tyson, out of nowhere, just starts to tell him the entire plot of the film.
Yeah.
See, like, but, what the fuck?
He just spent this entire time
saying he's like, fuck off, fuck off, fuck off. And then he's like, all right, I guess I'll tell you everything that's going on.
For some
that
reason.
That I'm an assassin.
Yes, for some reason, I didn't care about this. Like, it is the biggest exposition dump ever. The one thing that I didn't like was, like, Jared asked me to get in your car.
Hey, Dan, you want to get in my car?
No, if you knew me, you don't want to get involved with me. Trust me.
No, man, I really want you
No, seriously, I am a bad person. You don't want to get involved with me. I don't want to be in your car, okay?
What are you, a murderer? Come on, just get right in.
Okay, I'll get in your car. But that went on for a little too long. But then the exposition dump to me felt worth it in a way because I finally get the context for the murders at the beginning.
Okay, well, here's how you do that exposition dump to make it make more sense. He gets in the car. He's just trying to help a dude. They get attacked. Maybe there's like a chase scene with a car. I know that's expensive. Ooh. That's probably hard to do. But like, let's say they go to that gas station, then they get attacked. And he's like, what the fuck's going on?
Okay.
He's like, all right, I guess I better come clean about I'm in this organization and blah, blah, blah. When they're both kind of stuck together, like, oh, now the FBI's after us. Like, and these bad guys are after us. Like, I was just trying to give you a lift. Like, why is this happening? Then he tells you. Not like I've entered your car with no context and now I'm going to tell you that I'm an international assassin.
Let us skip to the next scene.
Oh yeah, it's like the first scene of the movie.
No, I see what you're saying, but I'm just like, I get it.
Uh-huh.
But you reminded me of a scene that I really
want sure,
to talk
go
about.
Ahead. Yeah, absolutely.
So they need gas.
Uh-huh. Yeah. As one would need.
And they get to the gas station, they're like, let's fill up. So Michael starts to fill up, and the guy who's working, the attendant, the pumper, if you will, Michael's the pumpy. Anyway, the pumper, he's like, hey man, this is New Jersey. We pump your gas for you. What the hell? Anyway, some dude comes out of nowhere and starts assaulting the fuck out of Tyson. And Michael gets involved and he starts kicking some ass too. And this actually was a pretty, despite the choreography of the film being lackluster and just, you know, not necessarily the best I've seen, I liked this fight scene a lot. What I didn't like is how the bystander is just sitting there nonchalantly on the phone. We assume that he's calling 911, but he's just standing there the whole time just like, oh, I guess this is happening next to me. Like, you see him the whole fucking time.
That.
He is, and then you find out that he did call 911, but he does not look like he's reacting to the whole fight that's taking place.
Gotcha.
He just looks like he's standing there. I'm like, what the fuck is this guy doing?
Well, here's another great question: How does Vex keep? How did they find Tyson? How did they even find him at the gas station?
Movie magic.
It doesn't make any sense.
You don't. Sometimes you don't need to make sense, you know.
And then when Tyson and Knight find other Vex characters to kill, it feels random, except for when they go to the warehouse, which is like, okay, that makes sense, they know where the warehouse is. And I like the idea of these two detectives and how like one of them was the former partner of Knight and everything else.
I wanted more of that.
Yeah, I did, me too. But then what happens to them? They just get killed at the end. They just both get shot in the head
with decent effects. Like, you could tell that, like, they were not the most amazing, you know, CGI. But the way that the effects are working, it's like you can tell they're like a little bit cheaper effects, but where they hit their marks, they still look realistic. Because like,
yeah,
I've seen CGI that's like it hits midair and it sparks. It's like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, like I thought the special effects were serviceable in this.
Yes,
they didn't bother me at all.
But here's where sound design comes back in. The guns don't sound like guns.
Yeah, like, you're right. They
sound a little like, I don't know. I don't even know what they sound like. I've never heard sounds like this before. Just like, they're very loud clicks. That's as much as I can equate it to.
Yeah, it was strange. Yeah, not like the bangarang sounds. It was more of the sounds of the triggers being pulled, like you're saying. Yeah. Okay, well, Dan, anything else you wanted to cover in this film before we put it to bed?
I enjoyed the ending of the film.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that, well, I guess not despite it, because Tyson now has to live with the fact that, so the whole, I don't know if we've said this, but Tyson leaves Vex because he feels guilty because he murdered an unborn kid.
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad you that feel guilty.
Sense. Yeah.
So he's trying to redeem himself, and he wants to be killed by the person he wronged, which is Mike Knight. And Mike Knight, essentially all he does is he puts the barrel of the gun to the guy's head, then rips off the dog tags. See, that's another thing we haven't been talking about. Tyson kills people from the gang, Vex, and then takes their dog tags as trophies. So Mike takes his trophy at the end, but then leaves Tyson alive. So I like the fact that, you know, he took the high road, the moral high ground. Like, that's always a very cathartic thing to do. It's like, no, I'm not going to kill you. I'm going to let you live with this. And if you want to take your life, fine, whatever. That guy, Tyson, in terms of, like, I was kind of on the fence with him as an actor the whole movie. Like, because some of his delivery was good. Some of the delivery was just like, that was weird. But then this scene at the end where he's about to get killed, that, oh my God, just because it's all nonverbal communication. It's all in his face. And it's so, his facial features, oh my God, it was so realistic to me. It was awesome.
I thought Knight and Tyson, the actors, I liked them. I thought they were great as leads. Mm-hmm. I just thought some of the reasoning behind them getting together, and I just felt like the story could have been tighter to make it make more sense.
I feel like I'm just hypercritical about acting.
To go on that adventure. Sometimes we are and sometimes we aren't. I think it just depends.
What might have fixed it is the editing. Because like I said, that one scene where so the scenes in the car. If we just edit those scenes in the car a little bit differently, like have Tyson get in the car quicker instead of moseying around and saying no for 5 minutes. And then, like you said, have Knight only pull the gun once and hold it there for longer. Yeah. Because the more he did it, the more he winced, the more silly it got, and the less of, you know, that acting that you want in there. So if we take away from the length of the film, the actors would shine more, I guess.
Yeah, I think that this film would benefit more from more eyes on it. If Dwayne had some executive producers, or if he had some other editors, or like if he hired a fight choreographer, like just have more people see this film and like get input on it, and you can push back and forth. It's kind of like challenging yourself while you make the film.
So, I mean, this might be a hard pill to swallow, but Dwayne Parker did the editing, and I will tell you, knowing me, like I went to film school, I've made films before. And yes, if you are editing, if you are doing everything and you're the editor, you want to have second eyes on it, because editing is all about telling the story. And like, you already have the story in your mind, but editing like is all about what gets thrown on the floor in the editing room. It's not about what you keep. It's about what you take out.
And you gotta kill your babies.
Yeah, and that's really hard to do by yourself. So that's probably the biggest advice that we can give you. It's like, just have somebody help you edit. Not saying that you did a bad job, but just saying, know what you can take out. That's really what it boils down to.
You gotta know when to hold them, and you gotta know when to fold them, Dan. Classic, classic Jared and Dan quote right there. That's not from anything else but us.
Yeah, I know.
We made that up.
We did make it up.
One final thing I want to talk about. There is a interesting scene at the gas station where they talk about the juvie to prison system for young kids, where it's like they go into the foster system, and then it's almost like they're set up for failure from like a very young age. I thought it was very interesting. I wanted to know more about that. I wish it was actually more integrated into the story instead of just like a random conversation.
We'll say 80% true. Maybe not all the kids go to juvie, but I work in a low-income area, and yeah, it's like they just are funneled into bullshit. Mm-hmm. It's awful. Like, it just like the system is designed to keep poor people poor and to fuck them out of life.
Yeah,
it's awful
for sure. And then you have the foster system where it's like you don't know what kind of family you're getting. You don't know if you're getting a family that wants to take care of you or is taking advantage of
the government.
Just having a kid there. Yeah, and it's like, and then your life is already pretty bad. You don't really have a lot of people helping you. And then you get stuck in juvie. And then once you get that juvie record, it's so easy to transition right into fucking jail. So really interesting ideas, really interesting concepts that I wanted the film to explore more. I just don't know how it would connect to Vex and like the assassins and stuff more. Mm. Okay, I've talked enough. I will stop talking now.
You can find us on Instagram at Indie Film Review Pod. You can find us on Twitter at Indie Film Pod. You can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. Longtime listeners of the show will realize that I put Instagram first, and that is not something that happens.
Oh, whoa. That's a fun little, like, Easter egg thingy.
I didn't even mean to. It was weird. It felt weird coming out of my mouth.
Dan, I think everything feels great when it comes out of your mouth. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. hey, guys, Necropodicon is the site that we are hosted on. That is our Potter family. We love them so much. They're the best. Go on there. Check out all the great podcasts like Waffles and Mario Talk About Things. It's an improv show. Or Grow Out of It, which is like two cool people. They read like old stories they wrote when they were like 14.
I was on that show once. It was super fun.
Yeah. And it's like really funny. They like do voices. They make fun of the stories and how dumb their writing is. And it's hilarious. I love it so much. And then you got Sons of the Fathers with Paul, the Necropodicon daddy who did all this stuff. He does a Call of Cthulhu game that's like cool and sci-fi and shit. Hey, and I'm going to be on it. I'll be on it eventually. We're recording episodes now, so sweet. Who knows when they'll drop, but that's really fun. I'm having a lot of fun doing that with him. And yeah, so if you like me, go check out those things. And thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you. And, you know, fuck. Dan, you got the final word.
What makes a man good? His past or his present? Me? It's my past, because here is the present. I got it for you. Open it. It's my dick in a box.
Ooh, my dick in a box, girl.
Are you searching for a D&D podcast that tells a twisted and macabre tale set in a world under siege by cosmic horrors? One that will make you fear for what lurks in the darkness and question your own grasp on reality? To bear witness to a party's struggle against their inner demons as they walk the thin line between hero and villain, while their sanity frays and falls apart at the seams? Keeping good humor and a joke on their lips as all they know and love crumbles away. The chanting of cults, the corruption of mortals, the nightmares of the cosmos and the whispering of dark gods all awaits you in Gunpowder Treason No Plot, a 5th edition D&D podcast. Be sure to listen on any of your favorite podcast providers. Part of the Necropodicon Network. Hard to pronounce, easy to listen.